Welcome back to Counseling Tips for Pastors and Ministry Leaders, the show that is all about equipping you for the counseling-related needs of your church or your ministry or your life and your relationships, as well as encouraging you in the hard but holy work of ministry life. And I'm glad that you're here. We are continuing our look at listening well. And if you missed last week's conversation, we broke down listening and listening well to three key components. And I'm not going to repeat all of that. Circle on back and listen to that short little episode. But listening does not end with the question of, am I listening well? Am I following the biblical command from the book of James to be quick to listen and slow to speak? Because another key component of listening is, does the other person feel like I'm listening? Do they feel heard? Do they feel valued? Do they feel understood? Now, you can't completely control that, of course, but it is surprisingly easy to end a conversation and walk away from each other with one person feeling like, oh, that was really helpful. I heard them. I understood them. We were connecting. And the other person to be thinking, wow, they did not hear me at all. That was frustrating. That was confusing. I feel let down. That's unfortunately very common. And it's my goal in our short time together today that that will never happen again with your conversations with people in your family, in your circle, in your ministry, in your church. So again, this is Counseling Tips for Pastors and Ministry Leaders, and I am the host of this show. My name is Jessica Hayes, and I am a licensed counselor and a marriage and family therapist in South Carolina, and I'm the director at I Hope Christian Care and Counseling. And we are a distinctly Christian nonprofit counseling center in the PD area of South Carolina. So I would encourage you, if you are looking for counseling, you're thinking about referring someone for counseling, and you're in South Carolina, check out more information about us over at ihopeflorence.com, because we are available in person, but also virtually. And if you're in South Carolina, I would welcome your donations to support this ministry, because we are a 501c3, and we use every donation to keep our clients' costs as low as possible. So you can learn more about us at ihopeflorence.com. And as I already said, this conversation today is building on our previous episode. So circle back to that one to get the breakdown of kind of the three key components of listening well. And today we're tackling that question of, not just am I listening well, but how do I make sure, to the best of my ability, that the other person actually feels like I was listening well? Because those are, obviously, they're related, those overlap a lot, but they are not the exact same thing. So I'm really just going to share a few tips for what this looks like. And you probably have heard the term active listening, which fits very well into what we talked about last week. And not only trying to understand the other person, but going a little deeper. What does this mean to them? Why is this important to them? It includes taking action or responding to what they're saying. And all of that is going to help the other person feel heard. But there are a few counseling tips that are going to help as well. And so I'm just going to share a few of those tips. So let me start with the one that's popping in my mind first. That's what I'll start with, because that seems like a very reasonable place to start. And that is considering how your body language is responding to the other person during a conversation. So our typical human response is that if there's conflict or tension in a conversation, it is very natural for us, if you're watching the video, you'll see me doing this right now to show it as an example, but it's very natural for us to lean back to maybe cross our arms or put our hands on our face. You know, we're touching our, resting our head in our hands or playing with our hair a little bit. These are very natural body language responses to tension or discomfort, because we feel like we're going a little bit on the defensive. But here's the problem. That is sending a message to the other person, not necessarily that you're not listening, but it's creating a little bit of a wall. Literally, you're crossing your arms and creating a little bit of a wall between you and that other person. So one of the ways to really help you not only listen well, but help the other person feel like you're listening, you're caring about what they're saying, even if you disagree, even if there is some tension, is to open that body posture, maybe put your arms by your side, uncross your legs, and if it's possible, to lean a little bit closer. Now, of course, I don't mean get all up in their space and, you know, we all have our personal bubble of space, but a slight 2-inch lean toward the person is sending a very strong signal that I hear you, I'm paying attention to you, I care about what you're saying. This is going to go along with eye contact and appropriate smiling. I mean, it's actually very common for people to smile when they feel nervous or uncomfortable, which might not be the message you want to send if the person is grieving or they're upset or something has happened. So just being aware of, am I smiling? Am I looking away from them? Am I crossing my arms or are they open? What message is your body language sending? But another tip that will help the other person to actually feel like you're hearing them and you're listening to them is to kind of interrupt the flow of conversation a little bit. So when they've said whatever they're going to say, before you're responding with maybe your point of view, or even maybe with a question or a clarification, it can go a long way to just do a quick one-sentence summary of what you just heard them say. And again, you might be clarifying, saying, well, I think I heard this, I'm not sure I understand it, but that might be something like if they just spent 5 minutes maybe complaining about their, a coworker, another pastor at the church, well, he did this, I don't know why, and, you know, I can't believe that he would say this, and da 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 da, and they're saying their thing, you're maybe disagreeing with it, you might be feeling uncomfortable in the conversation. But can you, before you respond, before you even maybe defend that other person, which might be very justified, to insert that one sentence summary. And maybe it sounds something like, so what I hear you saying is, you're feeling really frustrated with those last few conversations you had with that person. Or, I often do start it with, what I hear you saying is, and then you fill in the blank with what you heard them say, and you might be wrong. They're still going to feel like you heard them, you care about them, because you're giving them a chance to clarify if you did hear it wrong. So just even that simple opener, what I hear you saying is, or you might summarize saying something along the lines of, I think that you're trying to tell me blah, 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 fill in the blank, the thing that they're trying to tell you. Those are just really simple inserts into the conversation, almost like checkpoints along the way, that are communicating to the other person, I actually did hear what you're saying. And especially if you need to follow up with a different point of view, with a challenge or a question, it's really easy for people to think, well, you didn't hear what I said. You were just thinking about your response the whole time. And maybe you were, or maybe you weren't, but if you can summarize back what they said, it's a great confirmation that you were listening. I have a few other tips for you here. So an additional tip there, so you're watching your body language, you're leaning toward the person and making eye contact, you're offering those quick little summaries of what they said. It can also be really helpful to take the conversation a layer deeper from the content, what they're saying, and try to clarify and label what they are feeling. So if we take that example that I gave, where maybe they're complaining about another coworker or another pastor at your church, I can't believe they did this. This is what they said. This is the conversation. You can summarize, you know, well, what I hear you saying is they did blah, 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 blah. And you can tell them that. But if you can add in that layer, either asking the question or checking in about, that sounds really frustrating, or it sounds like you were really confused, or, wow, I bet that was really discouraging. Putting in that emotion. Now, again, you might be wrong and they can tell you that. No, no, I wasn't discouraged. I was angry. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. That is still going to help you listen well, because if you genuinely thought they felt X, but really they felt Y, well, you're walking away with a wrong understanding if you don't clarify that. And often for people, we can get very caught up in the stuff, the things, the, you know, he said this and she did that. And we don't even always understand our own heart about what we were feeling about that or why that was important to us. And if the other person can label that, can help us dig into that, we are going to feel heard. They didn't just hear what I said, they cared about what I said. And there is nothing we want more in a ministry context as we're building relationship to help people feel heard and valued. And we're going to mess that up plenty of times. But they are going to care about that effort that you are making. And then a final piece that I would have here to make or to help make the other person actually feel like you heard them. It does not have to come back to actually doing everything they're asking you to do or agreeing with everything that they have said. Now, you might agree. That's very convenient and that will help. But that is not required for someone to feel like you heard them. It's going to be much more important to, as I've said, to lean in, to summarize, to check in about and try to understand the emotion that's behind it, but also to follow up on that with some sort of connection that helps the other person. So what do I mean by that? That might be a follow-up action. You know, they asked you to do something. You can do it. You can make the phone call or schedule the meeting or make the change. That would be one way, of course, of following through. But it also might be making a recommendation to them. You know, with what you're talking about, I read this book once called Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud, and it really helped me with some weird work dynamics. That might be a great resource for that conflict you're having with your coworker or with that other pastor. A specific resource, or maybe it's a scripture verse. Maybe it's calling or texting them later to follow up, where you're not just receiving this information from them or having a back and forth conversation, you're offering them something of value that's connected with what they were talking about. A resource, a scripture passage, you might pray for them, you might follow up with them later. Those are all really meaningful ways of making sure a person not only is heard because you were listening well, like we talked about in our last episode, but feels like they were heard. That does not require you to agree with everything. It does not mean you're a doormat and they make all the decisions. It does mean you are intentional about showing them the care, the compassion, and the listening that the Lord calls us to. So I hope that some of those thoughts and tips are helpful for you. Again, you can find out more about iHope and our counseling services or make a donation here in the state of South Carolina at ihopeflorence.com. And I would love for you to share the link to this episode with a friend or a colleague, or leave a rating and review just to help spread the word, because our goal with this podcast is to equip and encourage our pastors and ministry leaders. And there's a lot of good stuff here already and plenty more to come. So I will sign off for now, but we will be back next week with another episode of Counseling Tips for Pastors and Ministry Leaders.